Hey, yo, bad news. Fuck going on?
Yo, are we back? We are fucking back.
No way.
And guess what, people? A whole lot of fucking shit has gone down in the world.
Oh my God. I don't think we've done a pod since 2021 at all. This is the first pod of 2021.
Thank God.
Really?
I think I was scared.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Is it?
I'm almost positive. Because like Trumpers was still president when we were here last.
Well, that guy's not president anymore.
No longer Prezi.
Well, he'll be back.
Oh.
Bigger and better than ever.
Predictions.
Yeah. Dude, Matt, what is up? I mean, there's so much to talk about. It's actually like we're going to freestyle this entire episode.
Dude, totally freestyle. But I got some little noties that I like, okay. Some touch points that I want to hit on.
Is there a place you want to start at?
Well,
like COVID.
COVID's coming to an end, it sounds like.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Just so everyone's clear, I had COVID really, really bad.
Yeah, that kind of hindered the pod there for a minute. It was the tall got the COVID.
Yeah, I'm obviously a child that travels a lot, and that shit got me. And it knocked me out for about 3 weeks. And I was the guy, I was the non-believer. I knew it was a thing. Definitely something that's there. But it fucking knocked me out.
The craziest thing is that you had it like the worst of all because you couldn't like shake it.
No, I could not shake it. I could not shake it. Merlin's just making sure to remind everybody that he's in the house.
Big dope.
But Merlin.
He's talking, man.
He's talking. I had it really bad. I had the shakes. I had headaches. The worst symptom I had was headaches. It destroyed me, made me cry. I would go to bed at 6 p.m. crying. Abby would talk. I'd tell her to not talk. The TV, if it was a movie that had action in it, I didn't want anything to do with it. If the lights were too high, my head hurt more. So like I have friends that have migraines and I always used to make fun of them. And now I know what migraines are.
Same.
I never want to make fun of them ever again. Because people were like, you have migraines. I'm like, if those are migraines, that feels like someone is trying to kill me.
Man, that's so crazy. That's so crazy. And then like, you almost thought you were free there for a second too.
Yeah.
I remember.
I was like 2 weeks. I can come back to work.
Got tested. I'll be right back.
Back to back. And just, man. I was still guilty.
Man. But then when you got back, everything started to loosen up a little bit.
Yeah.
Vaccinations rolled out.
Yeah.
Started getting vaxxed real quick.
Yep. You got your vax.
I'm all vaxxed up.
I pushed out today. I was supposed to go and I just didn't go.
On the vax.
Yeah. I'm going to have to eventually get it probably in the next week or so because it's summer and I want to travel the world.
That's going to be a thing, right?
Yeah.
There has to be. It's going to be like you have to have that card to get around.
And the craziest part is where the country I'm from, it's you have to have it.
Yeah, that makes every country should be safe and have their own little protocol, but so to each his own. Everyone, there's three different types out there. I know that some hiccups with the J&J or the Moderna boy or the Pfizer. I don't know where you're at with that, but I'm a believer of the just getting it. I put worse in my body, so might as well just.
You had the Pfizer?
I got the Pfizer.
Okay, that's the one I want to get.
Yeah, it seems like the. I mean.
I know bosses that got that shit.
Yeah. So same kind of like success rate so far and less dosage. So I don't know.
It's less dosage than the other one.
I did see something on the news today that there might be like a third dose down the road for Pfizer people, but that's not like 100% sure. But then I don't know. Then I heard like the variant still might, who knows? It's crazy. But as of in Nevada, as of June 1st, there will be no more text messages on the screen. Can you believe that?
Can you believe this in this world? Man. He did an update for some 10 years on this computer.
I know. That's another story. But, June 1st, no more quarantine, no more social distancing, no more limitations, full capacity. Only masks, I guess, is going to be necessary, right?
Wow.
Which is cool, I guess. We can trust people to wear masks now, but I still believe that the mask is going to be like the last thing.
It'll be the last thing just to make everyone feel safe. I can't breathe in those things. So I'm kind of the worst person around, I'm literally like the worst person. People are like, yo, you got to put your mask on. I'm like, dude, I can't breathe.
I'm just so surprised we haven't picked it up as like a supreme fashion accessory. Like the more shit we can wear as humans, like why aren't we so stoked about it?
Absolutely.
Like, I'll put this mask on and I can match it with my shoes and my colors and my hat and they can say something and it can like speak for me.
Right.
Like, oh my God, I'm surprised that the mask wouldn't just live forever. People would just be like, oh, this is a cool thing. I can wear it for the rest of my life. People are like, get rid of this thing. I don't know. Teaches them.
I agree with you. But you know what? It is what it is. It is coming to an end, or at least it feels like it is. And
but you know, my mom was just out here, and she says that California they still don't do indoor dining.
They do.
Oh, they do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think certain counties. I know like Los Angeles has opened up for indoor dining, but I don't think Northern California was doing indoor dining as of yet. But maybe they are. So I don't. That's just Nevada opening up quick, but maybe other states won't be as open as fast.
Yeah.
But you know, the biggest thing, you know, I saw this last week. We wanted to do a pod last week and we came in and logged on the computer and it was crazy. The computer just wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work. No one's been in this room for months.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, that's just,
of course,
you know, ominous picture right there.
Absolutely.
But then we thought that the computer was fried and we were just going to like fix it and like, or grab another computer. But
yeah,
I worked on it and got it to come back to life and did a bunch of updates. Ding. Yeah. Got the like the life stroke back and add to it.
Back, yeah, bish.
All of a sudden, it said updating 27
Thank
minutes.
God.
So here we are. You know, but last week, I wanted to talk about some topics, mainly DMX passing away.
Yes. Rest in peace, DMX. Man, yeah. He was so much for my childhood.
For sure.
That first record was just like, was incredible.
Oh, man. You know, the barking,
game changer.
The chirping.
The barking.
I'll never forget it.
Yeah, he's awesome. I've been seeing some funny videos, old interviews of his the last week or so. It's been pretty good.
What a character, man. And you know, like the funniest thing is just like a saying I used to listen to on this other podcast, Drink Champs, is like they used to say like give people their flowers while they can smell them.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think we do like a terrible job as a society, but I also think people like love to just like reminisce after someone passes. There is something like kind of you know, enjoyable about that one moment, you know, like to think about like their like full life trajectory and kind of give it a full like sweep through and
right.
Look at old interviews or watch them sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer just to get a chuckle. Like so much of it was like inspiring. And even people like are upset, be like, you know, he was this, he was that, or, you know, he had definitely had his demons and his faults.
Oh yeah. He's been dealing with demons a long time. It's super sad,
but it was just definitely like you hit it on the head. It was like a sound of my childhood. I remember like sixth grade,
first record.
Just hanging out in the boys' locker room, just getting hyped up before basketball games, just listening to that blood in. You know,
and no one can make a bark sound cooler. He would make bark sound cooler than dogs.
It's like, you just learn how to imitate his voice so perfectly in the car. You'd be just like, you know,
that or like, with Cat Williams, you know, used to always have skits. I was at dinner with DMX and that fool was just like, dog, what are you hollering at? He's just, all right. Hey, yo, bitch, let me get a water. Hey, yo, bitch.
That's so funny. That's so perfect.
So hilarious.
Oh, man. And then on the next topic I wanted to really touch on was just the Kim K becoming the billionaire. Dude, but like, you know, also during the pandemic, everyone's kind of be hitting that billion.
Oh, yeah. Right? That's like, it's almost like if you didn't, we didn't.
I'm missing out on all kinds of billion marks.
It's a crazy world out there right now, man. It's a lot of people that I know were not doing so hot going into that into the pandemic, and they came out on top. Just real deal Holyfield, you know, just it was amazing. They made a lot of money.
And there's so many variables now. And like, I think we were kind of talking about it, you know, a few weeks ago on one of the clubhouses that we were listening to. Shout out Clubhouse.
Yep.
But it was Gary Vee was saying it was like almost like the birth of the internet again.
Yeah.
I was talking to my coworker Emilio about this, and it was like weird because as the birth of the internet happened, like in the 90s, no one had the social media to see what others were doing with the internet per se. Mm-hmm. You know, you just saw it through your one little portal of the internet. But like with today, with like crypto and NFTs and what other people are doing, like with their businesses or what they can do on the internet, and you can see it firsthand, it kind of makes me like feel like I'm missing out even more than the internet boom. Right. Because like, I can like see the wealth accumulate others so quickly. Mm-hmm. Like via my phone or via Instagram. But it also kind of reminds me that like I don't have that kind of that finances to play with in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, like they make it look real easy to be able to like throw $5,000 or $1,000 or even $10,000 on something and just be ready to like lose it all. I don't have that kind of money to play.
Right,
so I got to I always look at it, I go, damn man, I want to invest and make like, I'd have $250,000 right now. But it's like, at the same time, like, I don't want to like ever gamble with that kind of money. That's a little out of my price range.
Hell no. NFT is another thing, man. Like birth of NFT. I mean, a lot of people, there's been some people that have been like messing with NFTs for a very long time. I think some of them years. Yeah. And it's been awesome to be on Clubhouse and listen to some close friends, you know, teach the world what it is. I've been very quiet about it. I just been learning and listening to a lot of close friends of mine, you know, teach. It's been an amazing ride to watch a lot of friends do very well from, you know, the Beeples of the world, the thank yous, the Greg Mikes. It's been really, really cool. Like super proud. Mystery GFX, you know, Fuck Render, just amazing, amazing things. My boy Slick, Victor Reyes, Trav, MSK. It's been like everyone's been dipping in it. It's been awesome to watch Eclipse from AWR kind of pave the way for a lot of people in our crew and guide people. I've been learning a lot from him just listening to the rooms and chats he's been talking in. And so, I'm still trying to learn.
Yeah, you know? I was just gonna ask. You're gonna have to like break it down for our users that might have been like in a hole.
Yeah. I mean,
what an NFT is. Like, you know, what does NFT stand for?
I'm not even telling you.
Non-fungible token, right?
Yes. All
right. Okay. So we'll get that one out of the way. And then basically in a nutshell, it's basically selling cryptocurrency, but digital art.
It's not only digital art. It could be anything. Okay. Right. But yes, it is.
It like, lives in the digital
realm. You could
take
a screenshot of this photo of the video that's filming us right now. And that's it. That's your NFT right there. The NFTs that I've fallen in love with is kind of what I've been helping do for years, you know, with putting VFX artists, you know, to create stuff for me.
Motion graphics.
Exactly. I've been around it for 7 years, you know, just that's as far as back as I can remember. And I've been obsessed with it. I'm obsessed with making, you know, VFX videos. You can go on my page and see it. I have been a huge supporter and of that world. Everyone used to make fun of me, like everyone. I'm not even scared to say it. Like everyone used to make fun of me besides the people that have backed me, you know. Yeah. And it's amazing to watch all of a sudden, like every hotel's trying to do it. Everybody all of a sudden is all about VFX and like, let's put fucking flamingos and fucking donuts chasing you. And I'm like, bro, I did that 4 years ago, you know? And now it's like, oh, let's do a hot air balloon in our backyard. It's like, I did that a year and a half ago, you know? So it's amazing to watch. I support it. I don't want to talk so much shit because I've been wanting people to do it.
Embrace it.
And, yeah. You know, So I am dropping my first NFT actually this weekend, you know, when this episode gets aired
Sunday,
you know, so, me and my friend Ash, he's probably my favorite motion graphics designer on the planet. We've become super close friends. His Instagram is MREGFX and he is an amazing human. He's so fucking talented. And he said that we need to do one. And I was like, you know, I was just mind blown that he even thought of me and I'm really excited. It could flop, it could do nothing, but I was just so honored that he even like said that we should work together. So
that's kind of the thing though. That's like, you know, it's the gamble evolved within it right now. The NFT could be in something, it could be nothing. But the fact is that like, if it is something, you could probably get it for a nice price right now.
For those that have been living under a rock, there's an artist named Beeple. You know, I've gotten the chance to talk with him a bunch and, you know, we follow each other on social media and he is like the king, right? And he sold his NFT for $69 million. So that raised a lot of eyebrows and a lot of people were very interested and all of a sudden everyone wants to do it, but it's, you know what?
He's crazy though, because
it's
like
crazy.
A Beeple can be like beautiful, like Rembrandt type style artwork, you know? And then at the same time, like you could have a CryptoPunks collection
100%.
Sell on Christie's,
you know,
and still generate like,
and it's insane. It's amazing to see what CryptoPunk gang's been doing. It's like, it's amazing. And then, you know, Banks from FaZe Clan has been a huge part of like that part of the world. And he's been very good at guiding kids on like what to do and what to buy. And it's been very cool to watch him or Gary V, you know, even the, I think Logan Paul is like a huge back tracking of all that, the Pokemon stuff. So it's been cool. I'm just sitting on the sidelines, you know, and supporting however I can.
You've almost seen a shift in the subculture there, like where we used to like try to generate like interest in older culture to try to, cause they had the money. Now it's like, we just want the kids to think it's cool. And if like, the cooler the kids think it is, even in the sense of like having an avatar and playing, paying like hundreds of thousands of dollars for an avatar, that's going to be worth money.
Yeah.
It's like to some people, like in no world would that ever make sense. And to some people that's like, oh, that's like my whole life has been gaining avatars or coins on my, whatever my profile or my Call of Duty. I need a badge. I need that badge. I worked for now I got the badge. It's like it's a symbol. And I think to that generation, it understands it more than ever. And I think they're going to prosper, and you seeing them prosper as to where we're like, oh my God, like playing catch up, trying to figure out like what is cool, what is going to be the next.
Yeah, it's amazing.
But then at the same time, like a video, like I think like a video just sold on Christie's or Sotheby's recently, like last weekend. And it was just like a collection of orbs in a box,
right?
Like a geometric, like, and all it was doing is just looping itself over and over and over again. But you know, to each his own. Like I guess it's gonna be the theme of this episode.
It's amazing. It's a, you know, I based mine, and me and Ash, we based ours off of my favorite movie ever made called the Thomas Crown Affair. You know, it's about a billionaire guy that, you know, robs museums and art galleries, and it's fucking a beautiful movie that was so ahead of its time with Pierce Brosnan. It's great. I suggest everyone go watch it. And there's a painting in that movie, you know, that that they talk about and help design with Ash our version of it. And it's really exciting.
Hell yeah. There's a good, you know, famous painter there as well, like a little throw in there.
Yeah.
At the same time, what did you think? Did you see that whole Peace Bird, Jack and Josh on the whole Rick and Morty collab?
No.
You didn't see this?
No.
Oh man, it was all over his Instagram for a while. You know, he got jacked by Peace Bird, and I think
Josh Videz?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Dude,
blown away. Blew my fucking mind.
Like I have never seen a jacking in that to that extreme.
Blew my mind.
Like how do paperwork not get signed without some type of like?
Yeah, no. And they used Josh's name, which is amazing.
And his signature.
And you thought he was just going to sit back. See, that's the problem with these big corporations. They think that because they give you love, that it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But Josh obviously made a lot of noise in his career to get to be known. You're going to have to pay for that shit.
Dude,
I'm sorry. You don't use Basquiat's name or Gap's name or Ford's name or Chevrolet. You treat that shit just like that. So put some respect on my fucking boy's name.
It's crazy how many people will just like take that chance. Like,
oh yeah.
Even like a total different extreme is like Lil Nas and that Mischief company, like just doing the Nike thing. But Nike just coming out and just slapping him on the wrist and being like, it's okay. But when Warren does it, they're like, no, we want all the shoes.
We're speaking of Warren Lotus for all those.
We want all the molds. We want everything. Yeah, we want all the money.
It's fucked up.
We need to refund everybody.
But I feel for Lil Nas too, man, because like, a lot of platforms have taken down his music and put it back up, like cheating on numbers, and he's catching it, you know? So he actually posted the other day that he's going to just launch his music video on fucking Pornhub. You know, he's a very smart kid. I got to give it to him.
Yeah, man. I sent you that Brockhampton thing with him and Dominic Fike just like making out. And I was just like, whoa, you know, but at the same time, like, he's finding other people that are like willing to cross the boundaries with him. And it's just going to open a whole new world for these people. But like, also I've never seen a music video that starred two other musicians and those two other musicians weren't featured on the song.
Right.
Can you think of another music video that ever happened?
No.
So, and if you're not sure with the song, I think just Google Brockhampton, Lil Nas X, and you'll find the music video. I'm not sure the song name at the top of my head.
Wow. Okay.
But then, you know, this is kind of old news here, but I guess we could probably take poll questions and like figure out like, what are some good names for the new Chinatown Market name would be,
you know,
because of the, you know, the new, since we've been off air for so long, we never get to touch on these things, but there's been a whole uprising after the COVID kind of died down with this new hatred towards like the Asian community and just really violence towards them. And
I feel bad. I feel bad for Sherm.
Yeah. You know? So now they're like, you know, everything's getting canceled that has any connotation like that. But, you know, Mike's actually doing the right thing and being up in the forefront of it and just being like ahead of it and not like having to like wait for anybody to like form picket lines or any of that shit or just boycott altogether.
He's just but Mike is in the front of a lot of lines, you know, and you know, we have a lot of friends, you know, Bobby Hundreds being one of our best friends, you know, he's Asian and he's showing us that side right now, you know, of the Asian people. And it's uplifting to me to watch how Bobby gets behind, you know, his culture and you know, he teaches me, you know, like
great spokesperson.
Exactly. Great spokesperson. I remember, a few months back I sent Bobby, you know, there was a black kid, that was, surfing in the waters in Huntington and a lot of racist stuff was happening in the water. And I sent it to Bobby and Sal Masekela and all these people got behind it and went out in the waters and paddled out with this kid. And, you know, it's awesome to see the power of the friends we have, you know, and how
he dropped
back
the history of the beach and how it got unincorporated and like reincorporated. Oh man, exactly. It's crazy knowledge afterwards. Like, just things like that are super eye opening. Yeah. Even like the powerful movement afterwards, but also giving the people the backstory is like super insightful.
Absolutely. Always, you know,
but what do you think the new name could be? I think you gave me a couple options that you thought it could be.
You know, I looked through the comments. I really like someone said market.
Yeah.
You know, and if you can actually coin that name, that's pretty cool to me. I think Josh is here's the deal. It could be called Mike Sherman, you know, and I think kids would still wear it because the graphics that Chinatown Market does is so it's got a genius level to it where a lot of the shirts don't even say Chinatown Market.
Is there a Canal Street brand?
I don't know.
You know, well, anyways, that's funny topics there. Bro, I'm just going off my list here.
Yeah, let's go.
What do you think? I heard you hating on Space Jam 2, bro. Are you hating? You're not thinking it's going to be great?
I think it's going to be good.
Oh, okay.
I had some time to sleep on it. Okay. I watched the trailer a couple times.
I was going to have to just
be the graphics are amazing.
Well, if you think Space Jam 2 is going to, I'm going to have to just go out on a limb and say Mortal Kombat 2 is going to be garbage.
Fuck.
But if you're going to say it's good, then I have nothing to argue on.
I was trying to watch it today. You know, I wanted to watch it. It's out in theaters.
Oh, theater meters?
Yeah, but
theaters are open.
Streaming is not happening.
Oh man, there's things about this COVID that's kind of weird because I've almost became so accustomed to living in this weird world that like things like the movie theater sound mad cool, but like at the same time, it's like. Like I have like this new bug implanted in my head. It's like, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't.
Right.
You know, it's not safe here, but like, I just want to do that. Like, I want to like go to those sporting events. Like I saw that the Rangers, they like for opening day baseball, they had a sellout. This was like April 1st. Right. This is like almost 2 weeks ago. And this is in Texas. Texas has pretty much said they don't care about nothing. And they had like 40,000 people there. And I was thinking, shit, man, even like, you know, EDC coming in May. And I was thinking like, man, that's going to be wild. And then it's almost like, it's like the ride to the end of May. So it's not going to be full June where everything's totally open yet, but like everyone's just going to be ready for that at the end of May. And it's just, to me, it's like almost too scary too soon. I'm almost not ready to go back, but I got this two-sided mentality. Like half of me is like, can't wait. And half of me is like, got kind of uncomfortable with like not having to live outside my bubble anymore, you know?
That's crazy.
It's very weird.
How did you like, being locked up?
I don't think I had a problem with it. It's super surprising. I wasn't like, I definitely missed like interacting with people as much as I interacted with people, but I didn't really do like a lot of activities per se. But I did, when I thought back, I was like, oh, I did go to a lot of concerts. I did like do a lot of festival things. I did like travel a little more, but I also hadn't had like a lot of time off ever since I was like 15. I don't think still like stop and not do anything or not have anywhere to go. So I think I did value it on like a whole new extreme level where I was like, kind of became like low key appreciative of it. So like, even when like in February, when they were like, come back to work, I was kind of like, you know, like not that I didn't want to come back to work, but it was just like, you got kind of used to just chilling at home where it just became comfortable.
Right.
I don't know if I want to do that again.
I remember when I was like, hey, I think it's going to be time. You're like, but why do we need to do that? I'm like, bro, I don't fucking make the rules.
I know, but I was just like, tell me why.
I get it.
Explain to me.
It's totally fair of like, why, you know, like asking that question.
But movie theater is going to open up. So there's going to be like the remaining five, like Brendan, he's going to make it through.
Of course,
like,
he's rich.
And then like,
but I saw Rachel. Arclight's done.
But Arclight and Pacific Theaters are like, nah,
that's crazy.
But like, because there was a few that closed, like AMC almost closed. They, if it wasn't for that crazy snafu with the short sale,
right,
they probably would have closed. Like, so many, there's, it's actually going to maybe work out for movie theaters when they open up, because there's only going to be so many movie theaters so you can go crazy to now. But I can't wait to go check it out. But then at the same time, like, my girlfriend was trying to get a plane ticket, and so many people are into that shit now. You think they're going to chunk up the prices and
the theaters?
Like, yeah.
It's already $60 by the time you're done.
I know. But you think they, now they can like say like, oh, legit, hella people want to come here.
Yeah.
So now we can make it like,
I guess you're right. A couple more Fuck, bucks. I hope not.
We can increase everything by a couple more.
I hope bucks. Not.
We have to make up for a year's loss of salaries. So a couple more bucks.
Yeah, don't worry. They'll add it on drinks, Skittles. Yeah. Like it's coming.
You're just gonna be like, oh, it was $22.
Yeah, $27.50.
Oh, weird. Okay, yeah, I don't mind $3. Yeah, but then that $3 adds $3. And they're like, yeah,
bro. I mean, that's gonna happen no matter what,
bro. I can't wait. We were talking, kind of bounced around from that earlier topic of the new extreme with the internet culture. And we did kind of talk about NFTs, but we didn't really talk on the crypto movement, and the crypto movement in the sense of like in the recent news is the Dogecoin.
Dogecoin.
What do you think about this?
Saw that coin this morning.
It's a fucking meme.
Yeah.
And it's now like making people billionaires.
Yeah. I can't even keep up. I can't keep up. Here's the deal. If you paid attention, you can make some serious money out in the world right now. You just got to pay attention.
Dude,
if you're not paying attention, you're just missing moments. Every morning, there's a moment in the world that something's going on. And it's amazing to watch right now because you just got to stay focused. My brother, Tommy, who we should have on here now, dude, because he's just...
I mean, we should have had him on here before. Yes, he definitely helped us with this whole backstory.
But I'm not like, I'm not saying like that. It's like my brother, Tommy.
Tommy's doing things.
Tommy's story is amazing, but... The best story is is when this pandemic started and he was on lockdown, my brother is a very successful DJ in a group called Breathe Carolina. He was like, he just put all in on stocks, and he has made some serious fucking money through this whole pandemic. Dude, where hard, he doesn't have to DJ anymore.
Learned a lot.
Yeah. He is making some serious money. He's guiding people on Twitter now on like how to do it, what to do. It's really cool. And
there's a whole community behind
a whole community. And he's a part of this community.
But if you're not aware and you're just living your life, you wouldn't even know to lift up this rock and look under it and be like, holy shit, what are all these people doing in this?
He's like, I'm in this like neighborhood chat thing. There's 300,000 people in it. I'm like, what?
Dude, you know, this Discord channel, they've closed it. Nobody can get in, so don't even
and
try.
It's really cool. And I'm so excited for him. It's been amazing to just watch him just shine.
But yeah, go follow him on Twitter. He's definitely dropping gems. Some gems.
Yeah, it's just hey Tommy. And it's been amazing to
Yeah, but those guys are doing the stock market in a whole new way. Like young, like motivated mentality, kind of like finding the up and coming movements and really championing those and like helping each other in a sense. It's crazy. But at the same time, like the crypto thing, like I felt weird because I saw Doge like a long time ago, like Kyle Kuzma from the Lakers posted like this one little screenshot like months ago.
Yeah.
And it just said Doge. And I was like, oh yeah, I know what that meant. So I like went to go see if I could like buy some, cause I was figuring like he was like hinting at something. And sure enough in Nevada, like if you try to go on Robinhood and you try to buy it, you can't. So you're like locked out. So you have to like go these other weird ways. And at the time, like the only other way was like through Cash App or some fucked up like way that I just didn't trust. So you kind of like, all right, I'll just take this L. And that's what hurts, I think, even more is like knowing about it and then still not being able to really sink your teeth into it. Same thing with like the stocks. Like if I just like, it's like Tommy, we talked to Tommy. Tommy was like, hey, this is totally doable for everybody, but you have to like really give 12 to 13 hours a day for a few months to learn.
Yeah.
And then it's totally achievable.
Yeah.
But like, who has that kind of like
time?
Yeah. And it almost worked out for him in a sense, cause he's like, you know, the DJ and he had like that kind of like passive time, but like me and you is like, man, I don't know. And I was like, I don't know. I think in my head, it's like, I should easily be able to donate 12 hours a day to like, but no, I can't. And even if I could, I don't think
have the patience.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah.
And I also don't have like you still got to gamble, man. There's still like a mean sense of gambling involved in any of that shit, in any of crypto or,
so
go ahead.
Doge had a moment last night, correct? Is that?
Yeah. I don't know. Basically they opened it up, some big investor company, or they allowed more chairs. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure really privy on the Doge world, but yeah, something last night happened where everyone was making coin and it was like at 16 cents. And like, they're like, if it gets to a quarter, and it ended up getting up to like 50 cents or 47 cents, which is like insane, made people a lot of money. But I did read something today that there is like a bubble within the Doge world because there is one sole owner of like the largest portion of Doge and it's like 28%.
And his name is?
Well, I mean, I can only guess that it's Elon.
Right.
And Elon's just doing gnarly shit with monkeys right now. But I mean, fucking guy. Did you see that shit?
Yes.
Man, if you guys are at home right now, pause this thing and go Google the Neuralink Elon Musk monkey. Like, he's figured out how to put these two little microchips in this monkey's brain. And this monkey's getting this smoothie, which he's just enjoying really, really good the whole time. But he's playing Pong with his, at first with a controller. And then he looks up and they take the controller away and they like click in the Neuralink and he's just playing with his brain. So he's just like in his head moving the joystick and without his hands, and the joystick's moving without any wires connected to him whatsoever through this Neuralink device. So Jesus, it's the future, bro.
Elon is so ill.
And then there's like the tunnel, the like the all those little like the boring company he has.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they said that he has that one almost like finished, right? From like LA to the convention center. Yeah. Or no, it's going to be just from the convention center in Vegas to the end of the strip.
Bro.
And they said like the drive is 15 minutes, but you're going to be able to do it in two. And he says it's going to change the entire traffic on the strip being able to do this.
Bro.
Because he's like, there's so many people that want to just get to the end of the strip that don't want to look at any of that shit. But there's so many people that want to look at that shit. So it like holds the traffic up. So I don't know. I'm for it. But at the same time, he can also he's doing so much with the market at the same time. But dude, what do you, I don't know. Do you know about any of this? I was talking to my mom about it and she says that when he lights off those, the SpaceX, rockets, that when they come back down, they like fucking blow up hella shit in people's yards and shit. And that's why he's really like moving them into the ocean.
I didn't know that.
And I'm even worried about that because I learned so much about the ocean that I'm like, I hope he's not blowing shit.
Seaspiracy, everyone. Let's talk about that. Sorry that Matt and I always bounce around, but it's
you just get a little notebook. And like I said, I was going to say earlier, like when Tal was not knocking off all those names for the NFT guys, like all those artists are extremely, extremely important artists for you just to rewind and just jot each name down and at least give them a follow on Instagram. You don't have to buy any of their NFT art. Yeah, you should, but, I just think like he ran through him so quick because they're his homies, but those names were super important to like just remember for the future.
They're just very talented humans, you know, that come from absolutely nothing. And a lot of them have been trying so hard to do things and they're doing great right now. And it's really, it's amazing to watch them shine.
Yeah. But we've been gone for 30, you know, for more than like 3 months.
So oh my God. We've been gone. We have a lot to
talk about.
Yes.
Got a lot to catch up on.
So like Seaspiracy.
Seaspiracy.
For those who have not watched this amazing documentary, that's very sad. It's about the ocean.
It's on Netflix.
I am not one to usually just like, oh my God, let's save the world. And like, cause I already know, like, no matter what I do, I'm not enough. But Seaspiracy would make you want to stop eating anything that comes out of the ocean. Now, am I going to stop? No. I fucking love fish. I love ocean food. I love bottom feeders like shrimp and crab, and I love fish like more than anything. Now, would I ever eat a dolphin or a whale? No. Hate that shit. Never had it. I would never do it because I love those animals so much.
Some shark fin.
Or sharks, exactly. But it's very sad. But it's an amazing documentary by this one kid that took a lot of chances with his life and traveled the world to go show us humans what we're actually doing to the ocean. We are, no lie, killing the ocean. And Matt is a lot better at explaining things. So like, I'm going to let him kind of like go with it. But it's...
Man, I was always wondering... Oh, go ahead.
No.
I was always wondering like why we never explored the ocean. Like I was just like I used to say that to you all the time. Like
one more thing. When Matt told me about this documentary, and I usually like take some time when Matt tells me about things to go watch because I'm so tired at the end of the day. But I actually watched this the same day Matt told me about it. And Matt was like, humans actually own the ocean.
Yeah.
Like people own it. And I was like, what? How's
that possible?
Yeah. And explains to you that corporations own the ocean.
Yeah. And then basically this kid basically saw some whales wash up on the beach one day. And he was wondering why whales were washing up on the beach. And he was living in the UK and he's like, this shouldn't be happening. So he started Googling it and finding that the whales were like filled with like, pollution, sometimes like sea nets and, you know, trash. So then he like
80% of the time, actually.
Yeah, it must be like plastic. So he started thinking like, oh, well, then it must be the straws, like everyone was saying. So he started looking into the straw thing. And then, man, he just opened this whole Pandora's box of what
this guy was going around, and he just goes around the ocean and just cleans on the weekends.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
that's what he was doing. Just like thinking that was the, his penance life, that he had to pay, right? Just like picking up some trash. And he would pick up a lot of trash bags for the stuff, which was unbelievable in its own right. But after he figured out that, you know, what the plastic island was mainly built up of fishing nets and whatnot, but you're going to experience this crazy documentary when you watch it. And it's actually like a lot more in depth than just the straw pandemic that we thought it was. And he dives into everything, and it opens up not only the fishing markets to
slaves. There's, dude, do you guys know that there's slaves on ships?
Man, it's insane. Like,
it's insane.
I feel like we could talk about it for days, but I don't want to ruin it in case you're really, really interested. So maybe next episode, we'll give him a week. We won't spoiler alert it right now, but we'll give him a week and then we'll touch on it next week. Seaspiracy, we're giving you one full solid week to catch up on it. If you haven't already watched it.
Yeah. And if you have any questions, like ask, and then we'll answer slide it on the DMs. Next
and if you don't believe it, or if you got a video,
it's amazing. It's on Netflix.
That's the opposite. I always like, opposite side of the story. So if you got something that explains it
100%
a different way for me, I'm all for it.
I totally agree.
Yeah. But that was like 30 minutes, man. What else we got here? I got some other notes. What do we got? Tiger Woods, Reckless Boys, bro. So recently Tiger Woods was involved in a severe car accident. Right. I think
a lot has happened.
I think he almost lost his leg, but I think they just put some rods and screws in it and saved his leg, boys, for him. But the city of Los Angeles is not going to give it reckless driving, because they say reckless driving involves having to cross multiple lanes at one time. But multiple people have come on record saying that they have received reckless driving tickets in the city of Los Angeles for a speed limit.
Do you think a four-letter word is paying millions of dollars to not be in trouble?
Four-letter word, golf?
or a sponsor?
Oh, drugs? I don't know.
Probably. Or swoosh.
Oh, the swoosh? Oh, it rhymes with Mike.
Whoosh.
Rhymes with Mike. Yeah, possibly that makes a lot of sense. I think, you know, but I don't know. So then previously there was a Tiger Woods documentary that came out on HBO.
Amazing.
Which was also like, if you're a Tiger fan, blasphemy, but if you're not, it was just an eye-opening story of this kid who's just been programmed from a young age to be a robot and then eventually got caught up in the life. But I was thinking more or less that he was still on the substances, and they said that he wasn't, right? They tested him and said he was cool.
Yeah.
But bro,
when you got millions of dollars, you could make that go away.
Disappear. Yeah, right.
I just don't believe. I mean, the guy was going like 78 miles an hour.
Just like, hit the guardrail
on like a 35 mile an hour zone.
Yeah, right. That's what I think. Like, he's got to be reckless, even on that, just on that corner alone. Even if he didn't cross multiple lanes.
Favorite part of his documentary is the opening, when he's just like, "I'm just trying to go to Orange County," and the cop's like, "Sir, you're in Jupiter, Florida."
Bro, the best is when he's like standing there in that cell, and they like turn the lights on, and he's just, he's got his eyes standing straight up with his eyes closed.
Yeah.
I was just like, whoa.
Yeah. Crazy. Crazy.
I got the vibes right now.
Yeah. It's Tiger Boys.
Oh bro. I watched this, the Gucci, runway show.
Uh-huh.
It was pretty legit. They did a little collaboration, Gucci and Balenciaga.
Balenciaga, yep.
For their 100-year thing. Yep. And they had a lot of tie-ins to Tom Ford and the old Gucci there. Because Gucci was all about his leather goods, mainly his saddles. And he used to make really expensive saddles. And so they really championed a lot of that early collection. I was like really inspired by it. And the funniest thing was, not only was were the clothes really cool, but they like did this lot of like funny hats and shit, but then they took one of the riding hat helmets and they made it a side handbag.
Oh wow.
And I was like, that was really inspiring. And they used a bunch of hip hop. They like started with the Migos, and then they went to like Rick Ross, and then they went to like the city girls. And then it was just really hip the whole way through, just Demna and Alexis just killing it. And then, the funniest thing was, I was trying to tell a coworker of mine that I always really super into fashion, because I feel like there's no limits in men's fashion.
Never.
And I feel like it's probably one of the only industries where it's like almost like super sought after to be like almost more avant-garde than ever before. Mm-hmm. Like just, and I thought like, cause none of those clothes are really like, there was a few pieces that I was like, you're going to see people rocking that in like various ways, but no one's going to wear like, it had a serious helmet with like a chin strap piece and like a lot of septum, like extensive septum piercings. Yeah. And I was like, no one's going to rock any of that shit. But like the fact that they can go out and on that limb and do that is always like for a graphic designer or like any creative, I always feel like super inspiring to watch. And I think like, it's funny how close, like they even like talked about how Tom Ford like moved it into like porno chic realm.
Right.
So they tried to like hint at that as well. And I thought they did a pretty good job.
That's dope. Just
paying homage to Tom Ford.
Tell people about that documentary where Tommy, I still haven't watched it, about the cowboys and hats, like the, you know, the, where hats really started.
Oh bro. Much. Yeah, dude. I've, you know, I always clown on cowboys, especially if you know me, I was like always made fun of cowboy hats. And I never understood cowboy hat. Cause it never like really, the cowboy hat you see nowadays doesn't really have much sun coverage. Like pretty much is just like for a fashion symbol on your head or like a kind of like a, more of like a status symbol, like for in public scene. So I was always like, wow, I could never pull off a cowboy hat, but I did have friends that could pull them off. So it was cool, but I always wondered where they came from. So I was stumbling on Prime one night and I found it was called like the cowboy hat story. I think it's probably still on Prime, but it's a, this guy goes through the whole story and he kind of like, the funniest thing was he sets it to the same timeline as the birth of movies. So he like tells how the cowboy hat was like, technically invented from like the gauchos and the like the Spaniards and how they like wore it as more of like a sombrero kind of in a sense. And how like when we came over and wanted to be rancheros, we kind of like embraced it and like tried to wear something very similar. But it was more, mainly because when they started making cowboy movies in the 30s and it was like the coolest, the Westerns, that the, any actor of the time would pick up the hat to try to like make it like more realistic. So he would like do his own interpretation of what a cowboy hat was. And then other people would wear that hat. And so on and so on and so on. And it just shows like this whole timeline for the, like an hour and a half of just the actual like growth of the hat, how it eventually like was a flat brimmed, like totally round, like
so crazy,
like a plantation hat.
Yeah.
And then it turned into like the cowboy hat we know, like that Kid Rock wears. That's like totally curled up around his head that has like no sun value to it.
Do people, were they expensive?
Dude. Well, it talks about how, it really kind of then correlates the Stetson family and how like John Stetson came up with the whole concept of the cowboy hat and the hat in general, and how he employed like a small town, almost like Hershey, Pennsylvania, where like the whole, cause Hershey was so big that so many people like worked and lived in Hershey that it became its own township. He had his own thing for the Stetson hat for a long time where he employed like, and it was weird to see the black and white photos of just like rooms of like thousands of people all like standing straight up, like taking a photo, super weird. Like no one smiles.
Right.
I think it's going to take their soul and shit. But, you know, the hat was like a, always a status symbol, but the funniest thing about a hat was like a black bowler hat could be as cheap as like made out of beaver skin could be cheap, or it could be like made out of some other like fine leather and be really expensive, but still be the same design. So to each his own in the sense that they knew it, but like some other people wouldn't be able to, I could have a black bowler hat and you could have a black bowler hat.
Right.
Same, almost the same exact design, but mine might have more detail inside, might be made out of different fur. And I would only be able to really tell if you got close to me, but I'd be the one knowing, you know? And that was like kind of the thing. And then it kind of goes into like where JFK was like the first president where he kind of didn't get the hat and killed the whole hat vibe where dude stopped wearing the hat.
Wow.
So like people up until then were like, good, like, you know, we're going to go out Friday night here.
So they wear a hat.
And we'd be like, yo, we got to put on our jackets and our hats and just roll out. Even if we were just going to go out like on a chill night, we'd wear one of those like wicker hats. And they even talk about the wicker hat movement and how that was like amazing. A thing for a second.
I need to watch this because I'm obsessed with hats.
Yeah. And that's what I thought. I was thinking about you the whole time because like, you know, the Nick Fouquet hats and all that like crazy, like the new movement in like the men's hat is like coming back. And almost like in a sense of like, and he touches on the Pharrell hat and who was
I forget the designer, but
it's a female.
It'll come to me,
but yeah,
but it was amazing. And Pharrell changed the game. Yeah, people started wearing hats because of that.
He even talks about how, like where that hat came from in 1984 and how that was like a mix of like polka and hip hop, and like the hip hop polka movement was like a thing in like 1984 for a second. And there was like a music video and they, to get this like movement to really take place, they went and got this famous fashion designer to design this hat for him. And she designed that floppy, like beat up cowboy hat. That's like, looks like a Dr. Seuss cap, and dude, it blew up. And then Pharrell brought it back full circle. And like, this is really interesting. And menswear is always kind of like, especially high fashion menswear, because I think as guys, there's very few professions where you get to wear like tailored high menswear, like on a daily, as yeah. Like women can like pull off like the Louis Vuitton shoes, like just to work. And like, but like men, if you came to work wearing Louis Vuittons, like people would be like, what are you doing? You
know? Right. No, for sure.
I think I men agree. Always have to like dress down in today's society in a sense. It's like buy that black tee, but make sure it's like a really expensive, like the one that Steve Jobs wears, yep. You know, with that yep. EC or something like yep. that. And make sure it's $3,000, but it's still a black t-shirt, but like, that's kind of men's fashion now in a sense. And I think like we do such a disservice to each other because there's so many cool designers out there that amazing. Eventually like have to go work in amazing. Men's fashion.
Yeah. There's amazing people out there right now. And it's awesome to watch some kids grow and hopefully they get the right chance to, you know, to get out there. It's a very hard market, but,
dude, the blow up seems like everyone can get a creative director job now.
Yeah. It's really easy. You could have my title. I mean,
I'm just saying like, it just, everyone's like, it's like the new, like trendy thing to get at these, a lot director. Of these places.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I was the creative director of Calvin Klein. Yeah.
Again, another a sweatshirt Matt and I created 2 years ago now.
Yeah. You know, we put a lot of these people like on these shirts and it's like, oh man, look at them taking off now. Yeah.
No, it's amazing.
Yeah.
We got some really cool stuff we're working on. So I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Bunch of fun merch for the Red Rock.
Actually, yeah, we're doing some cool merch for Red Rock.
Some cool merch.
I'm actually excited. There's a lot of cool things, man. Summer's around the corner and things will be a little nicer.
Dude, people are going to be itching to do things.
Oh, yeah.
People are just going to be
itching. People, I'm itching. I'm itching to just go to Tel Aviv right now. Yeah. You know, just go. I just want to work on a million projects, you know, good ones, fun ones, you know, get them through the finish line and be happy.
Yeah, it was wild though, because you know, for a moment there I was like trying to like the same mindset, but I almost like thinking that for the rest of 2021, I almost want to like reserve this energy. Like I kind of want to like
go to war in 2022.
Yeah, because I think that's where the war is really happening, because everyone's kind of like calling it quits this year. I think
yeah.
I think this year's a wash already. And I think like anything that's happening this year, you should just start future planning for 2022.
That's cool.
You know, that's kind of like my mindset now, because I was just like, you know, been through some things where I'm just feeling a little defeated. So right. I'm trying to like stay mentally like creative and
for sure.
not feel so burnt out with like things not going your way. Cause sometimes like, I think you plan so hard for it to always be like the short rat race. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, I'm almost there. It's going
right.
It's tomorrow. It's going to pay off. Or at the end of this month, I'm going to be in a wholly different mindset, and it doesn't. And then you're just like, so let down. But I think in a different way, you just got to like harness and keep working. Cause I feel like if you burn yourself out, then that time frame where you're like for that 2 months where you're just down and out and depressed or
right.
burnt out, like, yeah, I don't know, you did something wrong where you should have been just powering through the whole time, you know?
Right.
Like, cause I watch so many people just seem like they don't ever stop. And I'm like, I want to get like that. But sometimes I feel like I just have to like plug out for a while.
Fuck.
You know what I mean? So I feel like now for this year, I'm just going to be like future planning for 2022. So I can come so hard.
We just got to work on, I guess, like a portfolio for us, you know, just like cool shit we've done. See where it takes us.
Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be hard, but shit. We've done so much cool shit. And it's like the funniest thing is I got a lot of it in my closet. I just have to open my closet. And
go, right.
Oh, right. There it is.
Yeah. Did that. I remember that. That was fun.
Yeah, I was even telling Tal we had Limp Bizkit, man. Fuck.
There it is right here. I have so much shit in my office. Literally, we did a Limp Bizkit hat. Obviously, it's red for a reason, you know, but we had them at Dre's. Again, no one cared for it except me.
Yeah. It's
just, people and my friend Phil. And I think BA, Phil. But
happy birthday, BA.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday, BA. Fuck.
Damn, it's everyone's birthday now. If you've seen that, like it's a big thing now. Everyone's on the Gram channel now. Birthdays again. No one's just like all sad, pandemic'd out. The world is healing.
The world is healing.
But bro, at the same time, man, people just be killing each other. Like, I don't understand why we just kill each other so wickedly now.
Needs to stop.
Like, I think like, you know, then we had that Dante Wright guy. And then we had this other guy like Mikey Toledo. And now, then this morning we had like some guy go and kill like 8 people in a shopping center or something like that. Like, it's so insane.
I've always been like, how do you get to that place in your head that you're just like, I'm going to walk somewhere and I'm just going to off 8 people.
Yeah. I'm such a selfish guy. I just want to hurt myself. I don't want to hurt anybody else.
It's sad.
But yeah, bro, we just got to fix. And I think it's a mental health thing. It's not a gun.
Right.
Thing.
No, fix no, these no. People. And I know it's.
And you can't just give them drugs.
It's above me.
We got to like.
It's above me.
We got to open up the community of talking and like, you know, but at the same time, like when we grew up, and it's super sad to say, but like, how do we fix the mental institution in a sense? Like, why is it all, it got such a bad rap, I think,
right,
growing up, that maybe it was like a terrible place and it had a bad connotation, but maybe there were some ones that were really trying to help people. And that was like, you know, like the one in like, I always think about it in like, Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Like when he goes to that one, and it seems like that one wasn't as bad for Finkel as it was, you know, it was still like crazy people in there, but
right,
it was a nice
laces
place.
Were out.
Yeah. Laces out. But wow. I think we need more places. And I don't know if I don't think those places exist anymore. Like the Saint, and what do we say? We should call them like insane asylums and shit. Like,
right.
Like,
yeah.
Terrible
yeah.
words.
I mean, look at the Britney Spears documentary. You know, I don't know if you watched it, but it's amazing because she's been dealing with it while we were making fun of it, you know,
crazy.
And you have like real celebrities, you know, like a Timberlake apologizing for like, just never thought of it that way. Now, is the world becoming soft? I think there's some things that we're just like, come on, you know, but like, I truly think a girl like Britney Spears, you know, she's been not crying for help, but kind of just like hinting at the fact that she needs help, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's a superstar, you know. Dude. It's just, I think people in their own way ask for help, but we overlook it.
True. I agree with that. And, you know, also like props to Britney. When I watched that, I was so like, just surprised on how willing Britney was as a celebrity to give everything. Aspect of her life to people. Like,
I agree.
No matter. And like, at the same time, like also kind of like bummed me out how aggressive the paparazzi was. And I don't feel like the paparazzi like it's not that aggressive anymore.
No, cause you get knocked out now.
I just feel like maybe like she needed better security or something. Like, yeah. I remember when like one time I got 10 feet from Rihanna, the guy like walked up to me and he was like, bro, you don't get any closer than this 10 feet right here. And I was like, okay, sir. Like this guy was about to crush me.
Yeah. And you know, it depends who you have around you.
Yeah.
Maybe her parents didn't know who to hire.
It seemed like those paparazzi guys were like, you know, they were just like crowd her so close where like, man, it just made it seem like impossible. And I feel like celebrities move around a lot smoother now. Like, I don't think it's like that.
Right.
Like, I just feel like, I don't know, maybe it is like that in LA still. And there's just mad paparazzi on every corner. But back then was just like, seemed like that was like, also you needed like those little flies though to make your celebrity bigger. So maybe that was like the double-edged sword, you know?
Right.
You needed all those flashlights to be like, oh, that's somebody. I don't know. Cause nowadays I don't feel like you still see TMZ catching people.
No, they're there. Trust me. They're there. Yeah. I mean,
so I shouldn't say it like that, but maybe
they're there, but
the gossip mag, I don't know if it blows up like people and shit. Can they sell those photos for like when they were talking about money they're making shit?
The million dollar photos. Yeah. That, I don't think that exists anymore.
And
you
like,
got, because you have these people.
Yeah. Everyone's got,
you don't need it.
Everyone's got a good one.
Everyone's got the phone.
Yeah.
You know, so it is what it is.
That was a crazy doc though, you know, free Britney. And if she is telling us little secrets, we got to figure it out. And that's just like that Black Mirror episode with Miley Cyrus in it. Totally like the whole thing full circle. It's like, whoa, she was like, Miley Cyrus is hinting at it saying, yo, I know Britney's telling me this. I don't know. I always wonder. You always wonder. You just hope that's not the case. But then maybe it is the whole time.
Oof. It's sad. It looks like it's going to rain tonight. Kind of crazy.
What happened? And like, you know, they're always like, it's gonna be a great weekend this weekend, 75, 76 degrees. You're like, oh, it's gonna rain the whole time.
Yeah. But guess what?
It's going to rain.
Motherfuckers. So my people, check this. We're really back. It's gonna be a great season.
Yep.
We're gonna have some interesting guests on this season. I've got a nice little list of people, and you're gonna hear some amazing stories, as always. I truly believe that our podcast is very interesting because of the portfolio of people that come, and you can hear their stories, you know, on a smaller scale level of, I'm trying to think of like the right word, but I probably won't have it because it's just, I'm just very excited that we're back. Matt and I are super motivated. I'll blame about 97% of us not recording on myself. Cause Matt is always trying to, you know, to pod. But we are back and I'm very, very excited. And, you know, this first episode was a whole lot of gibberish cause there's so much going on, but you know, stay tuned. We got season 3 is going to be fucking
gagoosh. So much schmoogables for you guys. You guys better get to a notepad.
Yeah.
I've already said this.
So reminder, NFTs. Do some homework. Do some, you know, I would listen to the artists that I named.
Love or hate them. Exactly. I know probably people are out there saying, fucking NFTs.
Are they going to be around in another month? You know what? It's been around for years.
Learn about them.
The only reason everyone's raising their eyebrows that hasn't been around it is because people saw some serious people make some serious money.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's why you're mad.
Exactly. Don't be mad. Watch Seaspiracy. Great documentary.
Definitely.
Free my girl, Britney.
Free Britney, always.
Hashtag. You know, hashtag free Britney. Let's help her out. All right. She needs it. No, I'm just kidding. I'm actually friends with her sister and her sister's husband, Jamie, the Jamies. I love them both. They're great humans. What else did we talk about?
Shit, bro. Cryptocurrencies.
Cryptocurrency. Dogecoin. I don't know much about it, but one of my best friends, Maddie, has been trying to get me behind it for years. And I used to make fun of it. I still don't understand it fully, but I know that Maddie Curls. Oh shit. Oh,
Merle's.
I guess Merle's is pissed.
Merle says, what's up, Maddie?
Maddie, what up? Merle misses you. But that's it.
That's
so
it.
So happy Sunday, everyone. My NFT should be up and about. Do some homework. I'm sure you'll see me post about it along with this. And that's it.
That's it. We're out. We're
happy
back.
Sunday.
But we're out. Over
Merlin, back. Merlin says bye to you guys too.
Merlin says peace.
Woo.
All right, out.
Hey yo, bad news. Fuck going on?